On this episode of The Edge Podcast, Michelle Creer, Senior Vice President at ClearEdge, and Nikki Leonardi, Director of Account Delivery at ClearEdge, sit down to discuss how organizations can best develop a marketing plan for 2018. Michelle and Nikki explain where organizations should start in creating a marketing plan, how to align their overall business goals with marketing initiatives, how much money organizations should invest in marketing, how to assess ROI, and so much more. If you're interested in creating an effective marketing plan in 2018, this one's for you. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Michelle Creer, Senior Vice President at ClearEdge Marketing. Joining me today on The Edge is my colleague, Nikki Leonardi, Vice President of Client Delivery. Thanks for joining me, Nikki, and welcome to your first podcast.
Oh, thanks, Michelle. I'm so excited to be doing this today.
Me too. You know, Nikki, I thought we could spend some time today talking about creating a marketing plan. Given that we entered the last quarter of the year, I know that we're starting conversations with clients about planning for 2018. So let's jump right in. What's the biggest mistake you see companies making when it comes to creating a marketing plan and budget?
Well, gosh, sure. There's definitely a couple of things that we see quite often. I think oftentimes it's just that they don't have a solid plan in place. Mostly they just put these piecemeal tactics together, and they're really great tactics. They're sell sheets, they might be email campaigns or blogs, but without having a really solid plan or strategy, it's a little bit in a silo or a vacuum, and it doesn't necessarily support the initiatives of the company. So it can be a waste of good marketing dollars.
Absolutely. I think, too, just from, you know, thinking back to my experiences early on in marketing, I know you were in-house as well, mm-hmm. Nikki, at one point in time. I think executives say, okay, give us a marketing plan without a ton of direction. And I think what we're seeing more and more in the past couple of years is if we can really tightly align what the company's business goals and objectives are, you know, what are they trying to do? And then tying that to marketing, we're seeing much better success. And I think for a lot of companies, that's a shift in mindset, really. Instead of having marketing kind of sitting alone off on an island, just kind of doing its thing, right? We're really, really trying to encourage companies to be more strategic about marketing and what that role is and how marketing can really support the growth of the organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got to get a seat at that table at the onset, have those conversations up front, start talking to your other divisions or other people within the organization and see what they're doing, what they need, and how marketing can support that. It's really a different shift.
Absolutely. And I think the other question that we get a lot, and I know you hear this all the time from talking with clients, is how much should we spend on marketing? What should our marketing budget look like? What are some, you know, percentages or budgets or things like that? So I know what I say, but I'd be curious, Nikki, how do you answer that question when clients ask you?
It's one of my favorite questions. We must get that every time I jump on a call. It's definitely dependent on so many factors, and that can be as simple as, you know, what's going on in the organization? Do you have any new offerings coming up? Do you know you're going to be launching a new product? Are you needing to grow your brand awareness? Is there something happening where you need to change your reputation? Or, you know, quite honestly, how aggressive do you want to be about your growth overall? So these are all questions you've got to ask yourself. You've got to figure out from a business perspective what's happening. And then that kind of helps you put a idea around what you're going to need to spend. But I will say, general rule of thumb, if you really just need that number and that percentage, we would recommend typically 3 to 10% of your revenue.
Absolutely. And I think too, you know, if you're a company that is comfortable just kind of doing the status quo, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're comfortable with single-digit growth year over year, or, you know, just staying flat, that's fine. That's probably more of that 3%. But like you were saying, if you're really trying to get to that next level, if you're expanding in some way, shape, or form, you've got definitely stakeholders who want to see a big return on that investment. You're looking more at that 10% of your revenue spend. And I, you know, I think that that's a healthy percentage, although it's very general. I think that's a healthy percentage to help companies understand, okay, this is probably the number that we can comfortably spend on marketing. Now, how do we actually create the tactics and the strategies and the deliverables map to that number? And that's, you know, that's really a good segue into that next discussion point I want to have with you, Nikki, which is who should be involved in building a marketing plan? You know, I would say never just marketing, but again, you know, based on your experiences, would like to hear you weigh in on that question too.
You're right. Kind of just going back to that first question, you don't want to be creating your marketing plan in a silo or a vacuum because you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. So what we always suggest and what we do is we want to get all of the key stakeholders' input. And it's not so that they're dictating our tactics. It's not so that they're saying this is what we want. It's that we can understand what their goals and initiatives are and making sure that when we put that plan together or when you're putting your plan together, that it's aligned to support those things and not completely off in left field and not supporting anything that's important to the organization. So again, just kind of making sure that whoever is making, you know, key decisions and whatever that main goal or what those annual goals are for the company, you've really got to create that plan that supports those initiatives and can add that value.
Yeah, and I think that collaboration is so key, right? So you're talking with the head of sales. Yeah, and again, what are they hearing from clients and prospects out there? Is there some collateral that could help support that? Mm-hmm. Is there additional education they need? Do their sales teams need help with nurturing existing client relationships or finding new ones? Is there a territory or geography that they're really trying to penetrate or an industry? Talking to recruiters, right? So for a lot of staffing and recruiting companies, do they struggle with attracting the right candidates to their organization? Do they have a strong employee value proposition? Can they really sell the company or do they need help with that, right? Those are all great questions to ask those different stakeholders internally to try to get a better sense of how can marketing help those groups support their business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you bring up a great point too. When we talk about it, we really have to think about what's happening with sales or what's happening with recruiting, because marketing is so aligned with them now. And we kind of just talked about it. It's so important to collaborate with those organizations. You have to be in step, kind of attached at the hip with them so that you know what they need and how you can support them.
Well, and that leads me to the next point here, Nikki, which is, so you establish your marketing plan, hopefully either at the end of, you know, so for right now, end of 2017, which will guide your plans and your roadmap for 2018, but don't let it just sit on the shelf for that entire year, right? Your business can change, things can happen. So how often do you recommend that companies revisit what their marketing plan is that they put in place, you know, earlier in the year?
Absolutely. You know, I think for many companies, especially smaller companies, sometimes just getting together or regrouping mid-year to make sure everything's aligned can be enough. But if you can do it quarterly or even more often than that, even monthly, you should be taking you should be taking inventory of what's happening, what's working, what's not working. Marketing needs to be very flexible, very responsive to the changing market needs. We all know that business can just change in a moment's notice. Whether there's an acquisition, a merger, an industry change, a new product, something happened, you've got to respond to that. So sometimes you've just got to step back, take a look at everything, and just make sure that you're validating that your tactics are still aligned, or potentially you have to just reset those in accordance to the budget that you have assigned for that. So again, mid-year might be okay to kind of do a check-in, definitely quarterly if you can do it. And if you can just do a check-in every month, that's even better.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, so it's not just sitting down and looking at the plan, right? It's not just pulling out the document or the PowerPoint or whatever it is that you've created your marketing plan on, but really looking at those metrics. And like you said, Nikki, really, where have we seen success? What's happening in the business? And what is shifting? What is changing? And how do we need to realign or be nimble? So when you think about evaluating a marketing plan periodically throughout the year, what are some of the metrics that that you're recommending to the clients that we're working with in terms of looking at how do we determine if this plan's being successful, if it's aligned to our goals and objectives, and if we need to change anything?
Great, great, great question. You know, we get this a lot. Metrics are so important. Everyone wants to know an ROI. They want data. They want numbers. They want to know that what they're spending their money on is absolutely coming back to the business. So it is really important that you set those up in advance and you're taking a look at that. With so many channels out there, from social media to email marketing, lead generation, websites, there's just so much that you can do to find the right marketing metrics. So whether that is traffic reports on your website to followers, engagement on social media, even open and click-through rates on, and conversions on your email campaigns, there is definitely data there that you can track. There are so many technologies today that make that super easy and right at your fingertips. But I think what a lot of people forget about, that it's not just data. You've got to keep in mind who is going to be using that data. Certainly in marketing, we're looking at very specific things, but executives and individuals in sales, they're going to want to look at maybe more of an overview or something that just gives them a deeper understanding of what's working and what's not working. And then some of your managers are going to want to get really into that detail and that data. So you've also got to think about your audience and what you're giving to them to look in. And then I think the other thing that I always like to emphasize is, you know, not everything can be measured in numbers. I mean, we all love numbers, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of value in things like customer satisfaction programs or loyalty programs, and those might not absolutely show specific data or specific numbers, but if you look at the big picture over time, it's very telling, and it really tells that story to your executives, which is what is really important when you're talking about your metrics for success.
Well, and that's such a great point about not everything is measurable from a hard ROI perspective. And I know I've shared this story before with some different people, but I used to work for a company that did recruitment process outsourcing. And one of the salespeople that worked there had a blog, and he was a really good writer and diligent about blogging every single week and did a really nice job of tying things that were happening, you know, like current events and things like that, back to recruiting. Did just mm-hmm. an awesome job of that. And he would get so dejected because he was so diligent about blogging every week and he never got any comments on the blog. So he, you know, he'd done this for a year, year and a half. And as we're looking at metrics for website visits and things like that, he's like, gosh, you know, there's just not a ton of website visits and there's no comments. Like, why am I even doing this? Just really frustrated one day. And a couple weeks later, we were at a conference and like five people came up to him and said, you know, hey, Barry, I love reading your blog. I read it all the time. I look forward to seeing it. I, you know, I subscribe to it, whatever. And I said, that is why you do it. That's that brand awareness right there. You would never know that these people are so just diligent about reading your blog and the awareness that you're helping build for the company brand. You're not seeing that in the numbers on the site. You're not seeing that in the comments and things like that. But it's working, and you need to keep that up because it is working. So there's a great example of not everything is going to be measurable. And I was just meeting with a gentleman earlier this week, somebody I used to work with, and he is starting up his own company. And, you know, his question for me was kind of along the metrics line, you know, where am I going to get the best return on my money? What should I do right out of the gate to help me launch my company? And he sat down and took me through his PowerPoint deck, which was very thorough, I will say comprehensive, and like most PowerPoint decks that we look at, right, Nikki? Way too many words on the slide. So he has a good message and really needs to refine and crystallize what he's saying to the marketplace. And he's got a website that he put up. But, you know, I started asking him some questions like, I can't give you an answer right now to where you're going to get the best ROI, you know. Who are you targeting? Is it a certain industry? Is it a certain person, a job title within the organization. What are you trying to do here? And it really got him to thinking, which is what we want to do, right? Mm-hmm. We want our clients to really think about this.
Right.
So, Nikki, I know you get this question all the time. What marketing tactics get the best ROI? You know, what should I do? So curious to hear how you answer that question when clients ask you that.
Yes. Well, and I think I probably answer it very similar to how you just answered that. It does. There is not a one-size-fits-all answer to this question.
No.
It really depends on so many factors. What are your goals? What's the current state? What's worked in the past? What have you tried in the past? Who are you targeting? You know, there's just so many variables out there. And so the more you can just step back and ask those general questions, what are we trying to do here? What are you looking to, you know, have happen? Then that helps us to work strategically with a client and figure out, okay, here's probably the best kind of tactic or what things that we can try that are going to get at your goal. But I am going to say it is 2018. It is a mobile world.
Almost, Nikki. Not quite there.
Responsive world. If you are not on a responsive website yet, that might be a tactic that you want to invest in.
Absolutely.
This year. You also, you know, it's a fast-paced world. People are moving a mile a minute. They're always on their phone. So if you can create content that is in an audible kind of format, such as this podcast, or is visual, such as a video or a quick infographic, those elements are gaining so much popularity. I need to be listening to my podcast while I'm running and working out and doing other things. So anything that I can watch or listen to while I'm multitasking or doing other things is going to get so much just acknowledgement. People mm-hmm. will do it. It's something that is out there. They can do whenever they want to. It's at their fingertip. It's on demand. So, you know, I guess if you're asking what is the best ROI, I'd say it could depend on anything, but these are some things you probably should be doing in 2018.
Absolutely. I mean, we know for a fact, just by looking at all of the traffic analysis that we do for clients' websites, people just don't read anymore, right? They want digestible, short bits of information. Like you said, they're on the go a lot. They're multitasking. And this whole move to podcasting and videos and things, that's the type of content that is really going to resonate with people.
Yes.
And that's where you're going to find, you know, your audiences. And that leads me to another question, Nikki, which is oftentimes, you know, in my roles, I'm out talking to prospective clients and I pitch something like a podcast or a video, their initial feedback, like just gut reaction is, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. I can't do that. Right. And I think we know that yes, there's an investment in time, obviously. And if you can't do it in-house, you have to partner with somebody who can help you. And yes, that's probably going to be an investment. But, you know, what are you telling people when they're saying, well, either I don't have the money to do that, that sounds expensive, or better yet, one of the pieces of feedback that we get frequently is, well, my audiences aren't there. I don't think that my audiences are listening to podcasts. I don't think that that's, you know.
Yeah,
thinking and knowing are two different things. So I guess how would you answer that, Nikki?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's that you don't know. I actually was just having this conversation the other day with an executive, and you know, she was just telling me how much she needed to update her website, and she was just like, "There's no way I can afford to do it. I know it's expensive, and I just can't." And so we started talking even further, and I said, "Well, what kind of budget do you have for your website?" And she was like, "Oh, I don't even know. It's just so expensive." So it just kind of reminded me, right? It's just, I think a lot of people get in their heads that, oh, this is just way too expensive. There's no way I can afford it. So, you know, for me, I'm like, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what you want to do. Let's break it down and let's figure out what you can afford. And let's figure out what we can do with that budget to make sure that we're getting in front of your audiences. And, you know, I think that idea around, like, I'm just not sure my audience is there, I would have to say, you know what, if you think your audience isn't watching videos and podcasts, you're probably wrong. Most mm-hmm. people are. Everyone has a mobile phone. YouTube is like the new Google. That is where mm-hmm. people are. That's what they're looking for. That's where they're getting information. So again, if you're not sure where your audience is, that's also something that, you know, our company can help with that. We're looking at that. We go out, we target and figure out where is your audience looking at. There's so many metrics and ways that you can find out for sure. You should never think you know, you should know.
Well, and to your point about, you know, somebody saying, I can't afford to do it. Well, you can't afford not to do it, right? I mean, there's also that peril in, I understand some people just don't want to be first to market on anything. Some people just aren't comfortable with that, and they're kind of more of a follower than a leader. But there's also this whole notion of, well, you're going to get left behind as well. Mm-hmm. So, like you mentioned earlier, Nikki, with just the fact that websites need to be responsive now. There's a great example of that, right? You've got Google who is penalizing companies who do not have a mobile enabled or a responsive site. So at some point in time, it becomes you have to make the investment because you're going to end up in, you know, a worse situation if you don't do it. So, So, you know, I know, Nikki, that you worked as an in-house head of marketing in a previous life. So I know you're familiar with needing to keep your management team apprised about what is happening in marketing throughout the year. So what have you seen work well in the past, and how can somebody who's in that head of marketing role or even just a marketing position in-house in a company, what can they do to set themselves up for success so that when push comes to shove, you know, they're not the first ones on the chopping block because they're only seen as an overhead expense and they, you know, are not seen as a valuable asset to an organization. What can they do?
So I don't think what I'm going to tell you is going to be earth shattering, but just in case, you know, communicate. I cannot stress that enough about this. You have to be visible in your organization. Marketing should never be a one-way relationship or sitting out on its own island. You've got to get that seat at the table. You've got to show the teams and the executive team the value you provide. You know, be transparent and be honest. Here, you know, emphasize how any metrics or, you know, programs are contributing to that bottom line. And that goes back to, again, defining your marketing plan. Is it supporting your the business objectives? And if it is, those metrics are going to come up naturally. You're going to be able to talk about that, and you're going to be able to show that value. And, you know, kind of going back again to those things that can't be measured in numbers, is it's that storytelling ability. And as marketers, that's what we're really good at. So don't forget about those types of things. Any success stories, you know, from customer satisfaction scores to these great testimonials, you know, you just can't undervalue those critical influencer programs that really bring to life the true story of what the numbers say. But again, be visible and communicate.
Absolutely. And speaking of, you know, just communication internally and things like that, we talked a little bit earlier about that alignment between sales and marketing and recruitment teams and marketing, and how that is becoming more critical than ever before. How do you recommend to the clients and companies that we're working with that marketing really effectively foster that partnership with those groups? I know, you know, just again from previous lives, I know that sales and marketing were sometimes not necessarily pitted against each other, but were certainly weren't as tightly aligned as they are today. And I think for a long time, recruiting and marketing didn't really work together at all, right? It was just recruiting was under HR and marketing was over here, maybe under sales. But now there's this requirement for a tighter alignment that really benefits the company. So how can marketing really extend that hand and start to foster that collaboration internally?
Well, absolutely. I mean, collaboration is just everything today across the entire organization. And it just can't be anything different for marketing and sales and recruiting teams. We've got to be in step with each other. It just has to happen that way. In today's climate, you know, it's no longer a product focus. It's a customer focus. So if these departments aren't aligned, you know, it's really hard to create programs and create outreach that really helps gain the trust and loyalty of these specific audiences, which is so important today. You know, and let's be honest, marketing does. We contribute to sales and recruiting departments, because, you know, our efforts are providing the leads, supplying content, building the brand. So being engaged and working together, whether that's sitting in on the sales meetings or, you know, sitting in on those weekly or monthly recruiting meetings, it's just important to be present and get engaged and see what's happening or what they're up against. It's opening those doors of communications. And then that just really helps a marketing team gain that deeper insight around the clients or the consultant behavior. And in turn, it creates even more aligned materials. And it's also really important, too, because, you know, we have so much technology today. So anyone in the organization can go out there and start posting things and creating stuff. And all of a sudden, it's out there. And if they're not working with marketing, they may have missed that, you know, key message or something very specific to brand. And so, you know, making sure that you're aligned and communicating to each other really helps to set the standards and consistency, which ultimately builds that brand awareness. And that's so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know, Nikki, that you work with a lot of our current clients to help, you know, strategize and put plans in place and keep alignment and things like that. But let's say somebody is listening here and they would like some support or even just, you know, a call to talk through some things. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can always email me, and that's at nleonardi@clearedgemarketing.com. You can also find my information on our website, Clear Edge Marketing, and you can look me up and get in touch with me that way. The one thing I will say, if you haven't started thinking about your marketing plan for 2008, you need to start. I was just looking that January is only 15 weeks away. I saw a Facebook post that Christmas is only 12 more Saturdays. So, we're just getting there. So I know we just started Q4. I know we are all heads down, wrapping things up, doing our final push for the end of the year, but we have to think of our strategic planning as one of those efforts that has to get done. And if you wait too long, you're halfway into Q1 before you're ever even starting on your 2008 plan. So, you know, pick up the phone, give us a call. We want to talk to you all. We have such an awesome team, as you know, Michelle, of former, current marketing executives who have been in these shoes. We've all had to put together these plans with no information. We've all had to figure out what are we going to do. So, you know, our entire team is there to support our clients and companies who are looking for just that extra guidance in where do I start? What do I even ask myself? And that's something that we can do. That's something we do every day and honestly something we all love to do. So we're excited to help anyone.
Absolutely. Great. Well, Nikki, is always fantastic conversation. I think we always have really great conversations when we get on the phone with each other. So I appreciate your time today and all the great insights and look forward to helping many other clients out there with their marketing needs.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.